Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 26th day of September 2022. As many of you know who listen regularly to this program, I've been traveling, particularly involving the G3 conference in Washington, D.C., where I was manning an exhibitor's booth for this program, and also hosting a pastor's luncheon featuring Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and also a debate that took place this past Saturday featuring Dr. White. I will give you all updates on that in the days ahead, but our time is too short today to go into detail on any of those things because we have a first-time guest, a very important guest who can only be on with us for the first 30 minutes of the program. We have two other guests following him that will be discussing the same subject, classical Christian education. But first of all, our first guest, Pete Hegseth, will likely be no stranger to the vast majority of our listening audience. He is an Army National Guard officer, co-host of Fox News Channel's Fox and Friends Weekends. He's an author and a very passionate advocate for the classical Christian education movement. He is also addressing today, Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation, which is his brand new book. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pete Hegseth.
Hi, Chris. That privilege is mine. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on, brother, and I know that my audience is as well. Pete, we have a tradition here. Whenever we have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation story. That would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and the kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord rose up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I was wondering if we could hear a summary of your story.
Well, no better way to start. I appreciate that. I grew up in a faith-filled Christian home just north of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. My parents brought me to Jesus Christ, brought me to church. We were very involved, and I was introduced at a young age. And I was baptized, I believe, at the age of 13, and a committed Christian, and have always been there. But like anyone else's story, it has got a lot of winds and a lot of curves and a lot of turns. And I think as I've gotten older, and this is part of why I'm so passionate about classical Christian education inside my own family and for everyone, is that I realized I had a Christian veneer, an intellectual relationship at many levels with Jesus Christ, but very much a secular core. And you know, that a lot of what I work on now pertains to education and the secular core, and then we try to undo that on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights and over the dinner table. And it was through a lot of careening in my own life that I'd say about 5-6 years ago came to the realization that I was lost once again and needed to find that personal, deep, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And only through that, only through the law and the wisdom of the Bible are you actually truly free. And it took a lot of bondage of the world for me to realize that. And it has been the as you know, as your listeners know, the only freeing aspect of my life, and I'm so grateful to have found wonderful churches and pastors and have in turn committed my life even more deeply to a relationship with Christ. And everything is better when that happens, and the ability to then profess with others as well. So it's, I've long known, but not as often internalized as I should, and I'm grateful today to God providentially for all that happened to me, but hopefully that I can give that back in the years to come.
Well, praise God. And how did you wind up as a television journalist and host of Fox and Friends weekends at the Fox News Channel?
Well, only God's grace, for sure. I was spent a lot of years in the military and ended up running a couple of veterans organizations. And through running those vets organizations, I had infrequent opportunities to do television appearances, either about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan or foreign policy or the state of the military, or more recently, the failures at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And I started doing more and more Fox segments on those topics. And then one day, some producers of Fox and Friends said, have you ever thought about asking questions instead of answering them? And I said, hey, I'll try anything one time if you're foolish enough to put me in that seat. And I did, and it must have gone okay. And then Tucker Carlson was the Fox and Friends weekend host before he got his primetime show. And when he got that primetime show after the 2016 election, I kind of slid in as the conservative voice on Fox and Friends weekend. Now it's chock full of conservatives with Rachel Campos-Duffy and Will Cain and great people. I've been doing it ever since. And then with Fox Nation, I've had the opportunity to do amazing stuff, amongst them multiple trips to Israel to talk about the battle in the Holy Land and an upcoming series on the life of Jesus in Christmas and Easter as well. So it has just been a blessing, and I try to use the platform as powerfully and responsibly as I can to advance the things that really matter.
Now, you mentioned that your faith had a lot to do with you growing deeper and deeper into your not only interest in, but your passion for and your zeal in promoting classical Christian education. Was becoming a parent that had a lot to do with that? What were the initial things that made you say, I've got to really start looking more deeply into not only the way that education is being conducted in our country today, but even the history of how it wound up this way?
Yes, a lot of it had to do with being a parent. A lot of it had to do with coming from a house that very much valued public education. My dad was a public educator. He's an athletic director. I went to public school. My almost fervent belief was that if I went to public schools, my kids are definitely going to public school too. If it was good enough for me, it's good enough for them. And I want to be committed to that. And it was based on the view of school, which had sort of romanticized the aspects of going to high school and prom and football and all of those things that you think of as a sort of Americana. And then if you just open your eyes and start to look at what you value as a Christian or a patriot and what you want to, you know, what you want to teach your kids in that process, and then you look at public schools, you realize there's almost none of it there. It's just not there. So if I send my kids, sure, they might make a bunch of friends and all that, but they're not. For 40 hours a week, they're getting a message that's antithetical to the things that are most important to me as a Christian and a parent. And at first it was, oh man, what do? I can't really leave public school. And then it was, oh, what options are out there? And through some research and others who guided me in the right direction, and frankly, churches are not very good at this for the most part these days. They still play the Sunday, Wednesday game and don't do enough in providing guidance to families about opportunities that are out there. And homeschoolers were ahead of the curve on a lot of these ways, and classical Christian the awareness around classical Christian education is rising, thank goodness. But it almost was mugged by reality that my own Christian veneer with a secular core was the most likely outcome for my kids if I entered them into two different worlds, and then you add the third world of social media and phones. And you realize you're completely outnumbered and outgunned. And it was also as one of my oldest kid was going through classical Christian once he was finally in it. And I realized I don't know anything. I was never taught these things. I didn't receive, I don't know Latin or Greek, and a lot of the great books I've never read, didn't encounter the big idea. Certainly God wasn't present in my public school. And I want it for all of my kids. And it took a while for that to happen. And it felt like a clock was ticking in my head the entire time, Chris. At every moment they weren't in it was a moment I felt like I was failing them in their ability to not just be survivors of the culture, but be champions of Christ inside a culture increasingly hostile to all of those things. So it was apparent, and then it was a lot of research, and then it was a fortuitous meeting with David Goodwin, who runs the Association of Classical Christian Schools. He's my co-author on the book, to really crystallize the importance of school and community as an incubator for warriors for Christ, as opposed to something you kind of do while you survive public education.
Amen. Love to hear that. Well, Battle for the American Mind, the subtitle gives away some of what you discuss in there, uprooting a century of miseducation. I'm assuming the book traces a lot of the problems that we have in modern education today back to John Dewey in the early 20th century.
It certainly does. It certainly does. You know, Ernest Hemingway wrote of bankruptcy that it happens gradually until it happens quickly. And I think that's exactly the trajectory of the revelation of the depth of the depravity inside public education. It happened gradually behind the scenes, under the surface, for decades until we call it the COVID-16-19 moment, when parents during COVID were looking over their Zoom laptops of their kids and seeing, you know, gender pronouns and 1619 is the new founding date. And they looked around and said, how did this happen? And our research points all the way back to John Dewey and even before that. And every character you meet in the book over the course of those 100 years, it's staggering. They're almost all socialists. They're all atheists, humanists. And most of them, especially, you know, decades after Dewey, are Marxists. And they're the ones who gain control of the commanding heights of the all aspects of American education. So John Dewey and others, under the guise of wanting a new practical vocational education for immigrants, effectively said, we're going to have an elite class that gets educated one way and everybody else gets the other, and the other, of course, must not include God. And so the core of the book is the argument that the progressive left, they didn't know exactly where all of their schemes would lead, but they knew where they wouldn't lead, toward God, toward an appreciation for America, an embrace of capitalism, all of those aspects. So they removed God first, and we dissect how they wrote about it, how they studied it, and then how they implemented it into brand new schools they started, whose sole purpose was almost to say, let's convince parents that God doesn't need to be there, because God is the immovable object that blocks their utopian schemes. If you know we're not perfectible, if you know our rights come from God, if you understand your place in the universe and in the grand scheme of things, you don't fall for all the nonsense, all the arguments made today, which are utter nonsense. But that started 100 years ago. So the story, and there's multiple layers I'm happy to share as well. Critical race theory and critical gender theory were born of critical theory, which was brought by Marxists in the 30s and 40s. And, of course, they landed at Columbia University, which is the preeminent teacher's college. They fled Nazi Germany, went to Columbia University, worked with John Dewey there as well. He was also at the University of Michigan, and started to teach teachers this insidious theory, which now controls, you know, our teachers' unions and every aspect of the educational pipeline in America.
Now, I'm assuming Dewey was a clever enough individual to disguise his Marxism, because early 20th century America, even compared to the liberals of today, which many of whom, if they are in the limelight of the media, are actually leftists, not liberals.
Mm-hmm.
But even the liberals of the earlier 20th century seemed like John Birch Society members when you compare them to today's liberals. So how did Dewey get away with deceiving?
That's a great point.
So many.
It's a great point. We use the label progressive today as sort of a point on an ideological spectrum, and we use that as a far left view. Progressives in the early 20th century were viewed as a more moderate form of the left-wing approach. In fact, a patriotic form, because you had anarchists and communists who were committing political assassinations and bombings across America. I mean, they were seen as the real threat. Progressives were sort of the patriotic left-wing version that was less religious, but they replaced the religiosity, and this is, we call it a forgery. They replaced religiosity with the flag and a pledge. In fact, the Pledge of Allegiance, the first Pledge of Allegiance in America, was written by a socialist, and it did not include under God in the pledge. That was added by Eisenhower when we were fighting the godless communists in the 50s. And the pledge was, effectively the scheme was, the cross and the Bible come out, and the flag and the pledge go in, because we can't all agree on God, but can't we all agree on the flag? And then there were practical reasons why they said that was expedient, and then they let God be over in the corner, and then the Supreme Court came in and did their work for them by banning Bible reading and banning the Ten Commandments and banning prayer. So progressives didn't look as extreme in the early 20th century as they do today, and they used that. Again, they would not have necessarily known where their schemes would lead, but they knew where they wouldn't, and that was intentional. And God got stripped out, other things were replaced, and then more radical elements, like we're seeing right now, and that's where the Marxists entered the scene. The Marxists battle the progressives, and they eventually take over what were previously fairly conservative teacher associations and make them teachers' unions. Then the teachers' unions elect Jimmy Carter, and Jimmy Carter creates the Department of Education, which was effectively created by the unions. Obama comes in and accelerates it all and puts in cultural Marxists, and that's how the ground was made fertile. Inside all of that, Chris, just one last thing, churches abdicated their responsibility. They were effectively broken into more fundamentalist wings, which were focused on saving souls, which is great. And then the other side was focused on social justice. Those are the liberal churches we're aware of, whose congregations are shrinking. But if you get out of the school business and only the soul-saving business, you abandon a huge part of the culture that the left then uses to turn kids away from a religiosity or a relationship with God. And that's why our hope is that churches will get back into the Monday through Friday business, in addition to the Sunday business, so that they're complementary as a community in shaping souls, not adverse to each other.
I'm going to give our listeners our email address if they have questions for you. We only have time for a couple of questions because you're only on for 30 minutes today. But it's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Before I go to any listener questions, I want to talk about something very important that is coming up on October 15th at 7 p.m. That's Saturday, October 15th. Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York, is very near and dear to my heart because it is the school run by my former church, where I was a member before relocating to Pennsylvania, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island in Merrick. And our guest today, our first guest, Pete Hegseth, is the keynote speaker at a fundraising gala at the Melville Marriott on Long Island. And if you could tell us anything about what you plan to say that day, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten to know Stephen Schultz. He's the headmaster over there, an amazing guy, and with a passion for classical Christian education. There aren't as many of these classical Christian schools in the tri-state area of New York as there should be, but there are more than you think, meaning if you really want to intentionally seek one out, you can find one. There are also a lot of online options or hybrid options, classical conversations. But I didn't know of this school on Long Island until he reached out and shared about it, told me about it, and what a beacon of light that is. And my goal with this book, my prayer with the book, and with the films that we did at Fox Nation about it as well, we actually have a season 2 of Miseducation coming out at Fox Nation as well, is simply to raise awareness so that parents know these things are out there. There has been an educational renaissance in the last 40 years with classical Christian education, and schools like Grace Christian Academy are on the front lines. And I want their admission to be exploding. I want their ability to grow to be astronomical. And so it was a no-brainer to do a fundraiser with them and talk about the merits of classical Christian education. Obviously, a lot of families who are already there will attend, but our hope is that a lot of families who maybe had heard a little about it, maybe they read the book, maybe they're unsure whether it's worth doing. You're going to, you know, you already pay property taxes. Do I pay tuition as well? Are there options for support for that? The event is meant to highlight this form of education that they are committed to and how it is life-changing for families if you make the same commitment.
Well, if you want more information about this fundraiser, go to gcali.com. That's G for Grace, C for Christian, A for Academy, L-I for Long Island.com. That's gcali.com, and all of the details will be there for the October 15th gala fundraiser for Grace Christian Academy featuring Pete Hegseth as the keynote speaker. That's Saturday, October 15th, 7 p.m. at the Melville Marriott. And we actually have, during the remaining 90 minutes of the show, Steve Schultz as one of our guests, the headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island and Merrick, New York. And also we have Corey Gelbaugh, who is headmaster of Lagos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and they're both going to be addressing classical Christian education. Well, we have a number of questions that have already come in. I only have time for a couple of them. We have Susan in Setauket, New York. She has two questions. They're very good. I have read your book and certainly agree that a classical education is a sound one. I should know, as I taught for 5 years in a classical school. That being said, I wonder how classical education can be broadened in order to make it available and attractive to those families who cannot afford to send their child to private school. Classical homeschooling is an option, but not everyone is able to homeschool or have the ability to command a classical curriculum. Are there any other ideas out there to suggest for families who would love to provide a classical education to their children but are having difficulties arranging for one?
It's a great question. First, I would, and the answer is yes, but I would challenge the assumption that families who think they can't. And it's because it's all based on priorities. You know, how many vacations do you take? What kind of cars do you drive? What kind of other financial decisions do you make? That if you didn't do those things, you could provide a world-class education for your kids. So I challenge that to myself. I challenge that to everybody else, knowing there are still impediments for so many people. It's about, as we argue in the book, a radical reorientation of your life around education. In fact, we recently moved our family across the country to precisely the type of school we want our kids to be in, radically reorienting everything, because we think that alongside that and our family and the church is the most important. There are homeschool, there are hybrid options, there are cost-effective options for sure, some where you're homeschooling a couple days a week, you're in school, others. The other point is a policy point. So Arizona just did it, and other states should follow suit, which is effectively universal vouchers, where the dollars follow the kids. That's how you break the back of the unions and the government school monopoly that they have right now. We have to get courageous politicians willing to say, no longer should government public schools take for granted the funding they receive, and instead, the parents choose and vote with their feet. And once you have that kind of demand, and again, we're not talking about something where the government gets in the way. We're talking about something where the money goes to the parents, and the parents choose the school. In that, Arizona is doing just that at $8,000 per student, starting, I believe, next school year. And other states should follow that model, empowering parents to actually choose this form. Then you would see an explosion. So this is my challenge to conservative and patriotic candidates. This should be the first thing on their to-do list.
Susan's second question is, classical education oftentimes creates a sense of elitism in education and in the minds of its students, which is not something Christians should cultivate. Is classical Christian education the type of education that promotes humility and compassion for others, or does it tend to drive a wedge through the recipients of that sort of schooling and those outside of it? And perhaps, Pete, you don't even agree with her assessment of cultivating elitism, but what are your...
Well, she's been in it. I think any school can create the wrong kind of culture. I think intentionality and humility is extremely important. My experience with classical Christian schools is they seek to be academically elite, but not elitist. And the word classical even comes with this sense of, you know, we're better than you. And it couldn't be further from the truth. The education of our founding generation was effectively classical, and it went to blacksmiths and farmers as well. This is about not thinking lowly of average people that they're not able to access the great ideas and the great books and biblical wisdom. So it is on the culture of schools to maintain elite performance without creating arrogance in students who are going to be armed with knowledge that the world has fundamentally rejected. I would not support that characterization, but I understand where she's coming from, and she's experienced it firsthand. If it's done incorrectly, you certainly don't want to create a bunch of nitpicking, arrogant Christians running out in the world and going at war with each other, making the perfect enemy of the good. They just need to stand for something and know why they stand for it, and do so in a humble way.
Thank you, Susan. By the way, HarperCollins has been generous enough to give us a limited number of copies of Pete Hegseth's book. Since you claim in your question you already have it, I'll leave it up to you whether you're going to give a copy to somebody else or if we should pass it on to a different listener who writes in a question. We're going to be giving a limited number of copies away even when Pete goes off the air and we are interviewing our two headmasters of classical Christian schools. So thank you, Susan. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, and he asks, how do you overcome the objections to conservative Christians who say they have a big problem with classical Christian education because it includes too much secular material in it?
Because it includes too much secular material in it?
Yes.
I usually don't get that as an objection. If anything, some would say it includes too much religious material, which I, of course, don't agree with at all. That's what it's all centered around, all of human wisdom. It is, as a matter of fact, a grappling with what Western civilization has long grappled with, which is the tension between Athens and Jerusalem, between reason and faith. And I think what classical Christian does well is expose its students to all sides of issues, religious and secular, but all grounded in biblical truths and objective truths and the Word of God. And I think you create far more well-equipped students when they are prepared to engage with great books and texts, some of which would not comport with their faith. You have to be armed that way. And I think it's a reflection of our Judeo-Christian Western civilization that has been that tension. So that's not a criticism I'm concerned of. I mean, I appreciate the question. But it's, to me, I think it's a no-brainer you engage on those topics as well, so that you're not creating a bubble effect where it's only Christians who can live with other Christians and speak the Christian language, as opposed to engage with the world armed with biblical wisdom.
Well, thank you, Arnie, and you have won a free copy of Pete's book. Please make sure we have your full mailing address so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that out to you. We have an anonymous listener who says, I've been having a struggle with the church that I am a member of to transform the Christian education they provide in their own school to a classical model. Do you have any counsel for me and good points to bring up when having respectful conversations with my leaders?
It's a great point. I would point to classicalchristian.org as a resource, as an association. They do a great job of talking about how it's the type of education you wish you had. It makes you want to go back to school and engaging with it. The problem a lot of Christian schools make is, not all of them, but a lot of them, is that they take the already corrupted and progressive education system and they put God on top of that. And there hasn't really been a full examination of the depth to which education in America, as it was practiced almost exclusively until the 21st century and classical Christian schools, was written and created by progressives, from social studies to the bell ringing to sociology and all the topics and how the classroom even looks was created by progressives. A lot of Christian schools simply mimic that because that's all we know as school in America. It's what we're used to, as opposed to digging underneath the ruins of an educational system and rediscovering a way of teaching that was intentionally trampled out by progressives. So a lot of Christian schools, well-intentioned, attempt to layer Christianity on top of what is already a progressive system and accepting those assumptions, as opposed to really rolling up their sleeves and saying, there was a way this was done before that was totally lost. Now we have to rediscover it. And I think classicalchristian.org does a nice job providing those talking points and perspectives for parents. The transition is not easy. It's a very different way. It's a very different way of educating than even traditional Christian schools. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. And then you realize how much learning is actually lost when you don't follow that model.
Well, Anonymous, send me by email your full name and mailing address, because you've also won a free copy of Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation by Pete Hegseth. And this is compliments of our friends at HarperCollins, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll be shipping that out to you, and I would recommend highly, obviously, that after you read the book, you share it with the very leaders of your church, which you mention, as you try to convince them in a respectful and humble way to transform the education they provide to a classical model. Well, Pete, it has been a blast. I hope that you return to the program soon and often, and maybe even for a longer period of time at some point in the future. We'd love to have you discuss any topic that you care to address. And any final words in summary about classical Christian education that you care to share with our listeners?
Well, I mean, it is the cultural difference maker that we need today. It will not save your soul. That's still on parents to instill a relationship with Jesus Christ on their kids, but it will complement what you believe in. It's almost as if when you drop your kids off at school, you breathe a breath of fresh air, knowing that what you believe in is being amplified and reflected there. So if you're interested, come on out to our event on Saturday, October 15th, 7 p.m., Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. It's going to be a great event, and I really look forward to it.
Thank you so much, Pete, and we'll, God willing, talk to you soon.
You got it. Thanks, Chris.
God bless. And don't go away, folks, because we are going to be joined during the remainder of the program by Steve Schultz, headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and Corey Gelbaugh of Logos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, another classical Christian school. And we're going to be discussing classical Christian education in further depth. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you're near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today. Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries.
All right, hey, Chris.
And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
We have been joined by our second and third guests who are going to be discussing classical Christian education for the remaining 90 minutes of the program. If you just tuned in, Pete Hegseth of Fox and Friends Weekends on the Fox News Channel's network, and he was discussing classical Christian education as well as his new book, Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation. And now, Steve Schultz, headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, and Corey Gelbaugh, headmaster of Lagos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They're both going to further address classical Christian educations. And first of all, my old friend Steve Schultz, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
It's great to have you back on the program. Tell our listeners about Grace Christian Academy of Long Island in Merrick, New York, which is going to be the beneficiary of the fundraising gala on Saturday, October 15th at 7 p.m. at the Melville Marriott on Long Island, featuring keynote speaker Pete Hegseth.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's see. Grace Christian Academy for the longest time was the only classical Christian K through 12 in all of New York City and Long Island. There's a K through 8 in Manhattan. There is now a Lutheran school further out in Suffolk County that is in the process of converting into classical.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're excited about that. Please be praying for them. You know, we're pretty excited that we're going to have some allies out here. But that's our objective, is we want to spread classicism throughout Long Island. If you know, as well as you may know, the church proportionally is very small in Long Island, especially Nassau County. And yet there is a real valuing of education here. And it tends to be a pretty sophisticated business, if you will. And what we want to do is spread the gospel by using education to do that, and especially through classicism.
Great. And we'll be giving all the contact information toward the end of the program for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island and Merrick. And now we have a first-time guest. I have had a number of conversations in the past and even recently with my next guest and his wife. We have Corey Gelbaugh on the program, who is headmaster and founder, along with his wife, of Lagos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And Corey, it's great to have you on the program for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
And I was thrilled to hear that you were in attendance recently at one of the major events that I arranged with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I believe you were at the first event that we had on Tuesday. Am I correct?
Yeah, yep. I was there.
And Dr. White has been a blessing in your life for many years. Am I right?
Yeah, he was one of my, I would say, one of my spiritual influences through YouTube. And normally I skip over the beginning of his debates. I've listened to almost all of them. But one time I just let it run, and I heard this guy introducing him who I thought was pretty funny. And then I said, wait, I recognize that voice.
He's speaking.
Sure enough, it was you.
Yeah. Well,
long time ago, though.
Tell our listeners about Lagos School of Carlisle. And you may be wondering, folks, why I'm pronouncing L-O-G-O-S, Lagos. It's because I was corrected by the aforementioned Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries that no matter how anybody chooses to pronounce it today, and Logos is probably the most common, he said the correct way to pronounce it is Lagos. So that's why I've been pronouncing it that way. I don't know if you pronounce it that way, Corey, but tell us about your school.
Well, for the longest time, we were pronouncing it Logos, like Doug Wilson's school out in Moscow, Idaho. And I actually heard James White on the Dividing Line one day correcting Doug Wilson on the pronunciation. He said either Lagos or Logos. And so I went with Logos because I thought it sounded better, but then he rebuked me for that the other day.
Well, here's the funny part. James White has been making fun of Jeff Durbin for years for calling his church Apologia Church. And now that James is actually a co-elder there of Apologia Church in Mesa, Arizona, he has caved in and no longer pronounces it Apologia. And he pronounces it Apologia, as they have been pronouncing it all along. So you can fire that back at him. But tell us about Logos.
Yeah, I will do that. I think I actually YouTubed apologetics and found James White through that search from Apologia Studios. And I my daughter turned 4. And I had been on this sort of spiritual journey, and we wanted to have a school option for her before she turned 5. So this was a little over a year ago now that we actually discovered ACCS, my wife and I. And by God's grace, we were able to get the school started this year in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And we have 40 students. And it's going smoothly so far, almost too smoothly. I'm waiting for something to, to go wrong. But I told Steve that I'm going to have to pick his brain about a bunch of day-to-day classical Christian knowledge. But we really love the ACCS, and we're trying our best to stay true to the original vision.
Can you repeat what ACCS is?
The Association of Classical Christian Schools.
Okay. And I believe that's probably what Pete Hegseth mentioned in the first 30 minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's David Goodwin, the president.
Yes. We have just a few minutes. Since Steve has already been a guest on our program, and you're a first-time guest, can you give us a summary of your salvation testimony in a few minutes? Can you hear me, Corey?
Yeah, sure.
Can you give us a summary of your salvation testimony in a few minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I think when my daughter was born, my first daughter, I decided that I needed to think about what I actually believed and why I believe it. She started asking questions once she could talk that I didn't feel confident in my answers, and realized I needed to base my worldview in something deeper than just my own opinions. I wanted to, base what I believed and what I was telling her on the Word of God. And so I started reading the Bible. The Spirit convicted me through that process of just reading the Bible every day, that it was the Word of God, and led me to respond in such a way that I think it demands, once you believe it, to be true. And I was humbled by learning who God really is, and that I really can't know anything without him. And I'm hoping to get my kids to see the world the way that I now do. It's been really refreshing to see the world through their eyes, not tainted by the day-to-day years of seeing, taking for granted things like the sun rising every morning. Everything is fascinating to them, and I think if just because it's the things in the world of the normal way that God works is what we're used to, it doesn't make it any less amazing. And really, the Spirit has led me to have that childlike faith again, and I would have always considered myself a Christian, but it wasn't really until having kids that I started to really consider what that means. So I'm very grateful for that, and I've developed a passion through that for educating kids and bringing them up in the fear and in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Amen. And we're going to our midway break right now. I just want to inform our guests, if they didn't already realize it, since they are on Microsoft Teams, you two men will not be hearing the commercials during this break. So don't be concerned or confused while you're hearing dead silence for probably the next 10 minutes. Please don't talk unless you mute yourself, because everything you say will be heard over the air. Please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break is always the longer than normal break in the middle of the show. So please be patient with us, and please don't go away, because we're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors. If you have a question, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times best-selling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests, starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics show and podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review. and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avino, and thanks for listening.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshiped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to
the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. They bring back into print and publish for the first time nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to this day, including such modern-day brilliant authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making a purchase. Before I return to my guests, Steve Schultz and Corey Gelbaugh, I just have some important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you care to mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks in physical form to a physical address made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as your donations. So just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I never want anybody cutting in to your budget that you have allotted for giving to your local church in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Please never do that. In other words, don't give your own church less money that you're accustomed to giving them in order to give us a gift. Please never do that. Also, if you're really struggling to survive financially, and you're having a difficult time making ends meet, wait until you are back on your feet financially and you're more stable before giving us a gift. Two commands of God include providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, extra money for benevolent and recreational and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us. We really need it to keep going. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live in the entire world, I have extensive lists spanning the globe, and I may be able to help you find a church even within minutes from your own home. So if you are in that position of not being in a good, solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guests, Steve Schultz and Corey Gelbaugh, on classical Christian education. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I am back now with my guests. And let me first say to Corey, have I been pronouncing your last name correctly, Gelbaugh?
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you for clarifying that. And we have a question already from Findlay, Ohio. Let me pull that up. We have Cindy in Findlay, Ohio. I have been listening from the start, but I do not recall a specific definition for the term classical education. What is the meaning of this terminology? And wow, I'm amazed that I didn't ask Pete Hegseth for a definition of that. I failed radio interview host 101 right away for that. But Steve Schultz, if you could give us a definition of classical education.
Okay, first of all, from Findlay, Ohio, home of Big Ben. Yes. All right. If I may give a little bit more extensive answer with some philosophy thrown into it, just to make it make more sense. What predominates the academic landscape in America today is progressivism. And progressivism is built on a series of philosophies that are really not neutral or indifferent, but they are anti-Christian. And we can get into that further if you want. But an oversimplification of it is, if you can't detect it with your five senses, then you shouldn't teach it. That's at the heart of progressivism. And what that instantly does is puts to rest any discussion of morality, of virtue, of ethics, of theology, of the things that we as Christians would say are the most important. The term classical Christian education, the classical part of it, doesn't mean old. It's used because it refers back to the classical period of the ancient Greeks and Romans. And the reason that we do that is because the ancient Greeks and Romans had a very different idea of what could be known or what is knowable, and therefore how education should handle it. And the ancients believed that before you can rightly discern what you detect with your five senses, you must first have a set of virtue in place. And when the Christians then came along, they said, well, we know what that virtue is. It's knowing God, knowing his word. So the reason that we side with or take a classical approach is because we don't begin with the sensate. We begin with the ideational. We believe that it is more important. We believe that it gives that which is detectable through the five senses context. The best that the five senses can do is tell you what is, but it can never address what ought be. And that's where classicism comes in, as a beginning point.
Any, further, comments on definition, Corey?
Yeah, I'm really glad that you, defined it like that, Steve, because, I really see it as adding a dimension of meaning and value to education, because we're able to ask why, not just what is something made of and what can it do practically, but why did God put it there in the first place. The goal of classical Christian education is, I would say, the cultivating of virtue or goodness according to God's standard, which persists from age to age. And we kind of have our own take on when people ask us that. We say that it immerses students in the best stories that human tradition has to offer, always in the overarching true story of the gospel, because we're reading the great works of literature, the ones that have stood the test of time, and we're saying, what's the best ideas that man has to offer, and how does that hold up when put up against the mirror of God's word?
Well, thank you, Cindy in Findlay, Ohio, for the great and necessary question. I'm speaking like Elmer Fudd for some reason. You have also won a free copy of Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation, published by HarperCollins. And we thank HarperCollins for giving us a limited number of free books to give away to those who send in questions. And we also thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, for shipping out these books to our listeners. Let's see. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And he asks, and you may have already answered that in your definition, but he wants to know, can you give us as many specific details as possible that would separate classical Christian education from the standard Christian education that many of us are familiar with in your average Christian school connected with a church? And perhaps we'll start with Corey this time.
Yeah, so it differs in its curriculum and in its pedagogy. In its curriculum, in that, like I said, it largely replaces textbooks with the great works of literature. I would say that in classical education, the emphasis is always on how to think and not what to think. So you're learning how to think and easily learn any new subject. We often talk about classical education being the education of the free man, because instead of focusing on a specific vocation and learning trades or skills having to do with trades, we're learning the skills of learning. So we're learning how to be able to adapt to whatever our students do in the future, teaching them how to think and how to easily pick up any new subject that they're faced with.
Steve, do you have any further comments of your own?
For me, it's always going to go back to the philosophical underpinnings, and you know which approach to pedagogy is going to be most conducive to those ideas that are Christian. There are a lot of good Christian schools out there that are not classical. So when I say this, I don't want to lump every Christian school into this. It is an overgeneralization, but what everybody needs to watch for is oftentimes when a Christian school is formed, they may have a tendency to not prioritize the intellect, the academics as much. Really, there's an attempt to create a safe environment, which is good, but oftentimes at the expense of, higher level learning. And a classical Christian school won't do that. The spiritual is by far the most important, but we also believe that as Christians, we should also be superior in our approach to academia in relation to all schools around us. Another approach that's pretty common is Christian schools will often take the public school model and then insert the gospel into it.
When you say that, can you give the elements of your typical form of education that you see and experience and witness in the public school system model? What are the specific things that Christian schools mimic while just sprinkling on Jesus and the Bible? What are the specific things about the common experience in the public school system that are most objectionable? Other than, of course, the things that I would be shocked if I heard that actual evangelical schools are mimicking, like teaching that little boys can really be little girls if they just want to be, and vice versa, and all these other hellish things that are straight from the bowels of Satan. But the other just average ways that things are being conducted in the public schools that may have even been conducted in the 1950s that are not that overtly wicked. What are some of those things that you have objection to?
Yeah, those are the little foxes that spoil the vines that we don't even see coming. And what we tend to do is go, okay, what are the public schools around us doing? And now let's get better at that than they are. So following Common Core, for example, performing higher on SATs and on AP courses. And unfortunately, what a lot of those do is they approach subjects very broadly. They often make it their objective to cover as much material as they possibly can and not really go into depth. But it's the depth of a subject that is going to really bring understanding. And what we have to repeatedly go back to in a classical setting is to remind ourselves that there's, first of all, there's no way you're ever going to teach any subject exhaustively. Something's going to get tossed out the window. So what you do is you pick and choose that which is most conducive to learning to the gospel, and you teach it, and you teach it well, and you teach it in great depth. And in the process of so doing, you're also training the student how to think. And what happens with a lot of contemporary pedagogy is it's been reduced to how do I get a higher score on the next test that I have to take? And, I taught in the public system for 11 years, and the objective laid on my shoulders was from day one in September, get your kids ready for the eighth grade math test, get them ready for the Regents. And then when you get to that stuff, it's not very profound. It's not in depth. It's just a lot of data. And, if they score high enough on it, you've done your job. And then once they're done with the test, they don't remember anything because it was never done with great depth. So I think just avoiding the doing things shallowly, if that's a word.
So headmasters of classical Christian schools invent words too?
Yes.
I do it all the time on this show.
It comes from the Latin.
Yeah.
Right. Did you have anything to add, Corey?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think it is seeing all subjects as cohering in Christ So we have subject level catechisms where math is the way that God orders his creation. Science is the way that he upholds his creation. History is the unveiling of God's plan to redeem a people unto himself. And language and the arts are the reflections of his image bearers on that history. And for example, I'm actually teaching science. It's another thing that headmasters do at these schools. Our first quiz, and in each lesson, our teachers have to, in their lesson plans, answer the questions, why can we study this and why should we study this? And they have to explicitly point to Bible verses in the place of where state standards would be in public and even some Christian schools. And so for science, why can we study science? Depends on the reliability of the senses. God made the seeing ear and the hearing eye, or the seeing eye and the hearing ear. The rationality of the mind, because we're made in His image, and the uniformity of nature that He guarantees us through the Noahic covenant. We need all those things to be able to even do induction, which science relies upon. And so we're teaching that to and really hitting home on the foundations of all learning, and seeing all learning as learning about God, because we're learning about His creation.
We have, let's see, I was just looking at a question from a listener. Oh, here we have it. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, and I hope that CJ will attend this fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy, right there in Melville, Long Island, at the Melville Marriott, because it's very close to Lindenhurst. We have CJ, who is asking a question. Is the classical education movement a monolith, or are there differences in ideology and the model for this education, other than the fact that there will be theological differences amongst those practicing this, because there are different theologies represented by the churches who run these schools, as Steve Schultz mentioned earlier when he mentioned that there was a Lutheran school in eastern Suffolk County opening up a classical Christian school. And we'll have Steve start with that.
Okay. I think I understood that question.
And in other words, are all the classical Christian schools nearly identical other than the theology? Because Grace Christian Academy is the school of a Reformed Baptist school, obviously. It's a Calvinistic
right.
school. In fact, I know that Corey Gelbaugh is a member of Carlisle Reformed Presbyterian Church. Am I right, Corey?
Yeah, but I am. I'm a Reformed Baptist by belief.
Oh, okay.
I'm a member of a
In fact, I've heard that about three-quarters of the congregation are. But send my regards to Pastor Matt Purdy and Deckard Stevens. I love those guys. But so, Steve, I don't know if I helped clarify or further muddled the question.
Okay. I think I've got enough to go on. And there is some wiggle room. I think the short answer to all that is yes and no. Yes, it's uniform in that we all follow the trivium. Especially if you are an ACCS school, there is a pretty clear standard that's laid out by ACCS, which I think is an excellent thing to do. You're going to have your variances, because you've got some schools that are K through 8, some that are K through 12, some that have a pre-K, some that are further along in their refinement than others. For example, our K through 8 is pretty far along in its classical approach. Our high school is pretty classical, but we also have some AP courses which are not. And we're thinking through how exactly to refine that. You get some classical Christian schools that are completely very classical all the way through. You've got others that are going through some transition right now, like the school I mentioned out in Long Island, or out in Suffolk County. What I would need to know is, from the one asking the question, is there a specific aspect that you're questioning, that you're asking about?
Well, that would require the listener sending an email back. And if you are still listening, and I'm assuming you are, send in a clarifying email if you would like to, or if they answered your question sufficiently, you don't need to. I have a question of my own, though, that is connected to it. Are, to your knowledge, are there any either secular schools still in existence that are have adopted a classical education model without the religious aspect? And perhaps worse than that, are there leftist and apostate churches who have adopted a classical model but have also sadly polluted it with leftist religious philosophy and theology, to your knowledge? And we could have both Steve and Corey answer that.
Corey, you want to take that one? No pressure.
I think you've been around longer. But not that I know of. I know there's a large Catholic classical movement, but not that I within the ACCS, certainly not. But I don't think so. Do you know, Steve?
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I know that there are growing attempts, especially among the charter schools, to have a secular version of classicism. You know, classicism is not intrinsically Christian, but it does tend to accommodate the gospel absolutely more than progressivism does. Now, where I would argue the deficiency is that once you get into classicism, there is a lot of discussion of virtue and of right and wrong. And if you do not have a transcendent referee over all of that, you know, a transcendent lawgiver, your discussion over morality and virtue just becomes a matter of people's opinion. So you do need a transcendency there. Now, as far as apostate churches, you know, those who have embraced a lot of the woke movement, they are not going to tend to embrace classicism or authentic Christian teaching simply because of their ideology. You know, classicism is about virtue. And might I add, it is about logic. It is about thinking. And you cannot think logically and arrive at the conclusions that a lot of these apostate movements have arrived at. So,
in fact, a listener who sent us a question earlier, Susan Anise Satalkit, she just said that there are secular homeschooling programs in the classical model. However, most classical schools I am familiar with are reformed in nature, which is an interesting point. Theologically reformed, I assume she is referring to. Thank you for your own input into that, Susan. We're going to our final break right now. It'll be much more brief than the other breaks. And I ask you if you would like to ask a question of your own. There are still some people waiting ahead of you to have their questions asked and answered. But if you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s. And what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessialan 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, our guests for this portion of the program until its completion are two headmasters of two different classical Christian schools. Steve Schultz, headmaster of Grace Christian Academy of Long Island, located in Merrick, New York, and Corey Gelbaugh, headmaster of Logos, or Logos, depending upon how you want to pronounce it, School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They are both addressing the classical Christian school model. And if you have a question, I would advise you to send it in immediately, because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, do both of your schools require uniforms for the students? And if so, could you at least make them attractive uniforms? Because in my opinion, for most Christian school, private school uniforms that I have seen throughout the years, including the one I was forced to wear for a child, are absolutely hideous. In fact, I would like to add to that question, if you insist on uniforms, what is the benefit to that? And let's start with Steve Schultz.
Are you okay? We're good. We do require uniforms, and I agree. We believe that we should be putting our best foot forward in everything that we do. And the uniforms, I think, are attractive. They're respectable. They're I think the kids even like them. For the guys, it's coat and tie. For the girls, it's skirt, blazer. Why do we do that? There's a variety of reasons. One is that it gives the it fosters a mindset of we're on the same team here. It eliminates a lot of the competition that a lot of kids have with each other outside of here. unless you can wear a blazer better than the next guy.
So you're talking about the people will be showing off otherwise very expensive clothing, and perhaps the students that are from lower income or impoverished families, they'll be embarrassed or something. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there's certainly an element of that.
I remember, not that I want to recommend George Carlin in general to our listeners, because quite a bit of his humor was vulgar, but not all of it. But I remember him talking about that very thing in Catholic school, which he was, where he was a student himself. And so was I, by the way, before my conversion to Christ. I was Roman Catholic. But I remember George Carlin saying that there was a way that kids would get around the fact that they all had to wear the same exact uniform to show off the affluence of their own families. Some of the kids would wear a gold cross around their neck, actual size. So there was a way of showing that. There was a way of showing that off. But anyway, sorry for interrupting you. Anything further to say about the uniforms? As far as Steve goes,
it makes life easier on the parents. Not only budgetary, but also in the morning. What am I going to wear today?
Yeah,
looks like a blazer and khakis.
And as far as that same issue with you, Corey.
Yeah, we do require uniforms, a little bit less formal, but pretty similar. And my daughter, I have to say, I think they look adorable, especially for the girls. And she thinks that she looks adorable, too, because she's been trying it on the night before school every night since she started kindergarten, which sort of defeats the purpose of it, to be honest, because the reason that we want to do uniforms in the first place, among other things, is especially for girls to sort of mitigate the effects of the self-love culture, not give them, not tempt them to idolatry of any kind, not to find their value in their clothes, anything we can do to take that stuff away. I want to teach my daughter that unless she finds her value in being made in the image of God, she'll never be enough. And, I think clothes is an underrated factor in that in schools that don't have uniforms. So it's, it was actually a debate we had, and there's a biblical basis, I think, for it. And our parents, even the ones who are against uniforms, have really come along.
Now, how do you prevent your daughter from feeling so adorable in her uniform? Do you throw spaghetti sauce on it, or how do you make it less attractive to her?
Yeah, take down all the mirrors. I don't know. They get really dirty, though. Most of our boys have already have holes in their uniforms after a few weeks of school here. Because from recess stuff.
Now, if it's a Presbyterian school, I'm assuming the holes are from smoking cigarettes. Holy kidding. Well, we only have about 4 minutes left, and I want you first, Corey, to give the best pitch that you can possibly give in a minute and a half of why students in the Carlisle, Pennsylvania area should enroll their students at Logos or Lagos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And then we'll have Steve follow you with an additional pitch for the fundraiser. But Corey, if you could go first.
Okay. We have the goal of all students. We don't see ourselves as being competitors to other Christian schools, although we do believe our model to be superior. for the reasons we talked about earlier, but our theme at our school is learning through story, and what we want to do is tell our students a different story than the world is telling about who they are and what their role is in God's world. We want to cast them as characters in God's story, you know, unmask the world's spin on that story, bring it to life in their eyes by our own action, intellectually justify its truth, inspire the students to love it, and then disciple them unto love and maturation in the image of God. And really, you know, only the Spirit can ultimately do the work of regeneration, but we can lay the foundations, we can plant the seed and pray for the rain. And we're really taking the Christ-centered part seriously, and we're coming along in the classical with the help of the Association of Classical Christian Schools and other ACCS schools around us, learning from them and trying to tell our students God's story, and really get them to think God's thoughts after him and to realize that that's what they're doing when they're learning.
Amen. And the website for Logos School of Carlisle, Pennsylvania is Logos School. So there's two S's next to each other. Don't let that throw you off. Logos School, Carlisle, CARLISLE.com. And now, Steve Schultz, give your pitch.
Well, first of all, amen to everything Corey just said. You know, Christ is to remain preeminent over all things. And I believe that the moment you teach any subject without presenting Christ as the creator of it, the sustainer of it, and the end of it, you do that child a disservice and you have short-circuited their education. You were asking me, you know, why the fundraiser? We intentionally and sacrificially keep our tuition relatively low. You know, we still need to pay to keep the lights on, and we got to pay. We've got some really good teachers here, and we want to keep them. But nobody's getting rich here. And the reason that we keep it low is because we serve a lot of low socioeconomic areas out here. And our objective here is not to make money. It is to get as many Christian families, children, into a Christ-centered education as we possibly can. We are primarily funded by tuition, which, again, is relatively low in relation to the other schools. But not only does the fundraiser help us to grant tuition assistance to get other kids out here, we are hoping to make GCA basically the sending hub by which we bring in classical Christian education. And quite frankly, what I want to do is take over Long Island with this approach to education.
Praise God.
But well, we're going to need resources to do it.
Well, please, I want everybody who can make it to Melville, Long Island, on Saturday, October 15th at 7 p.m. at the Melville Marriott. Please attend the Grace Christian Academy fundraising gala. And for more details on how you can do that, or where you could just send a check to donate to them, you don't necessarily need to be at the gala to do that, to hear Pete Hegseth, which is a really phenomenal bonus to hear Pete as the keynote speaker at this event. But if you can't get there, you just want to mail in a check, all the details can be found at gcali.com. That's G-C-A for Grace Christian Academy, L-I for Long Island.com. I want to thank both you, Steve Schultz, and my other guest, Corey Gelbaugh, for doing such a great job today introducing our listeners to classical Christian education. I also obviously want to thank Pete Hegseth of Fox News, who had the first segment of the program discussing the same subject and also discussing Battle for the American Mind, Uprooting a Century of Miseducation, his new book. If anybody wants to purchase that book, Go to cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. Mention that you heard about this book from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and mention to them that it is a HarperCollins publication, and they will get that to you. I want to thank everybody who also submitted questions during this program. I'm so sorry we could not get to all of you, but time, as always, speeds by like a lightning bolt on this program. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.
Thanks.